I have a lot of hope. And I mean, maybe we do a part two interview, because I could spend a whole show talking about why I have hope. But I believe at the end of the day that the good, upright, moral, and righteous people will seize control of the earth again and take away the power that this satanic bloodlusting cabal has had for millennia.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report. Thanks so much for coming on back to the show. That was Seth Holhouse. And I gotta tell you, his Zen-like demeanor and delivery really had an effect on me, and I think you're going to like the measured conversation we had, which is full of facts and some very good news. Friends, thank you so very much for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Guys, gold has been on an epic, nearly unstoppable run. It's happening. Central banks are ditching the dollar and U.S. treasuries and buying more gold. The good news? It's predicted that gold will go up a lot more. UBS has even predicted a $5,000 per ounce gold price. And Noble Gold Investments' phone has been ringing nonstop. Everybody wants to protect their retirement with gold. And you can do the same. Now, it should be said that there are no investment guarantees. Do your own due diligence. But Noble Gold Investments can help you secure gold to protect your future. From the first day you call Noble Gold Investments, you'll work with a dedicated all-American expert. So whether you're a beginner or an experienced investor, Noble Gold Investments will make sure you get all the help you need. But that's not all. This month, Noble Gold Investments will give you a free 1/4 ounce gold standard coin if you open a qualified account. So go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Or call them directly at 877-646-5347. You'll be glad you did. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report. Guys, I got a real treat for you here today. I have Seth Holhouse on the line. You know him as Man in America. That is the website, maninamerica.com. You can find him over on Rumble. That's where I am as well, because you know you can't post truth any longer on YouTube. Seth, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
John, it is such an honor to be here. I'm so used to hearing your voice coming through the Bluetooth speaker. For many years now in our house, my wife and I, we've consistently had Sean's voice echoing across our living room as we're cleaning or cooking and listening to your interviews. So thank you for doing what you're doing. And it's an honor to be on the show. So thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm humbled. Thank you so much for saying that. And your check, sir, is in the mail. Honestly, you do a terrific job over there. Man in America, the soul of America is under attack. That's what you say. Those are your words. But I feel like I've been saying those words for more than a decade. That really is the truth of the matter, isn't it? The very heart of our nation is under attack. And I know in one of your videos, you concluded with this quote from Ben Franklin: "Where liberty dwells, there is my country." My friend, we've lost our country, but we're fighting to retain it. We're fighting to get it back, aren't we?
Yeah, it's frightening for a lot of reasons. I think one of the reasons is that not many Americans, I think, understand how lost the country is and how close we are to just being on the precipice of actually descending into some sort of global totalitarian, Blade Runner-esque Hunger Games system. A lot of Americans, they don't see it because it's under attack. But what's under attack is it's our souls, it's our minds, it's an information war, which is why this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm sure it's why you're doing what you're doing, is because we have to get more people to understand that we're actually at war. If you go to look into China, for instance, or any nations that are very war driven nations, when they're at war, they all know it. All the citizens know they're at war. They know who they're up against. They know who the enemy is. Here in America, though, that's been a big part of this, is actually confusing so many of us that we don't know left from right. We don't know up from down. We don't know whether the good guy is Trump or Putin or Xi Jinping or Joe Biden. Some people, they of course know, but there's so much confusion that I think that's part of what really scares me and what worries me about where we're at as a nation.
I think we're all feeling it too. And it really begs the question, what is up with the NPCs who don't recognize what's happening? Can you even explain that at this point? I mean, people who still actually support Joseph Robinette Biden, how is that even possible?
I think that if you go into the subject that I'm highly fascinated with, which is propaganda, brainwashing, mind control, which I know you've covered extensively, that's the only way I can explain it in this plane, right? In the material plane, that's how I make sense of it. To me, it's actually spiritual. It's something happening in the spiritual plane. Maybe these people that are so confused, maybe they've got some demon or some sort of demonic entity wrapped around their minds, preventing them from seeing the truth, because the truth does set them free. I think that there's something much deeper happening. But just looking at it in terms of just this plane of just these physical bodies and this, you know, these molecules and cells, I think that a lot of it, this is, you know, it's century old CIA mind control tactics. It's stuff they've been honing for a very, very long time. That fundamentally, I think what it does is it replaces people with a program. Your NPC is perfect. I remember playing, you know, Elder Scrolls here growing up, and you go and you interact with that NPC, and they have four different answers they give you over and over again. And that's really what we're up against now. And I think that I'm not sure if you had Michael Nels on your show before.
No, but that name rings a bell.
So he wrote a book. The name escapes me, but he studied the human brain, and he'd been studying this for well before, you know, COVID came about. And he was studying specifically Alzheimer's. And so what he talked about a lot was the hippocampus. And the hippocampus is the part of our brain where it's our filing system. It's where we store memories and where we write new memories and where we use those memories to access data from before. So for instance, you know, there's a relative of mine that before was extremely anti-vax, right? She had read all the books. She was adamant about not getting vaccines. But then once COVID came about, she's now on her third or fourth booster. And it goes back to, you know, George Orwell, right? It's you know, holding these two truths at once that are conflicting. But I did an interview with Michael Nels that really helped me make sense of it, that what they've done is they know how to take that memory system, that hippocampus, and they know how to specifically target it with their campaigns, whether it's fear, conflicting information. Like you hear one thing, you know, today Fauci says masks are good. The next day, the emails say the masks are bad. Like there's all these different things they do to scramble people. And so what happens is that this system, this program that we have, that we've developed our whole lives, which becomes our understanding of the world, our morality, our belief system, everything, which is stored in that hippocampus, what they've done is they've almost rewritten the programming. They know exactly what they're doing. They've rewritten this programming where basically people will say, it's almost like they arrive at this place where they're like, I have no idea what's happening. I'm so confused. And so they latch on to this one authority figure, like, you know, Fauci, for example, during COVID, but they latch on this one authority figure or one ideology, which then gives them their sense of being. It gives them their worldview. And once they have that program installed in them, you know, by the cabal, through their media and through all their different brainwashing operations, once that system's in place, it's very, very hard to break it. Because if you go to someone that's, say, in that camp and they become very pro-vaccine all of a sudden, and they're on their third, fourth, or fourth booster, if you show them the truth, you show them something, it's like what Yuri Bezmenov said, they won't even recognize the truth when it's right in front of them. And unfortunately, they won't recognize the truth until the boot is on the back of their head. And by that point, it's too late. But that's one of the only ways I can really make sense of how a lot of really brilliant people have been turned into absolute zombies.
Mm-hmm. You've seen hypnotists do their thing, right? I've never seen one in person, but I've seen, you know, YouTube clips and things like that and on television. And I've always wondered, how is it possible for some of these people to be hypnotized to the degree that a man will pretend or believe when under hypnosis that he's Madonna? Because this is one that I saw, and the guy was very convincing, very crude, very rude, very over the top, completely under the spell of the hypnotist. And I thought, isn't that interesting that some people can be hypnotized while others can't? Okay, so what explains people like you and me in the audience? What makes us so different from the NPCs? Have you ever given that thought? Why don't we fall for the spell? Why are we awake? We're wide awake and we're screaming from the rooftops about our country being burned down. What makes us so different, do you think?
That's the billion-dollar question, Sean. I think there's a lot of reasons. I think my own perspective, I think that fundamentally it's something spiritual. Like I believe that I'm on this path. I believe that I have awakened, that I know the truth. And to a certain degree, I don't know, obviously I don't know everything, but I feel like that through my own experiences, my research, that I've come to a pretty accurate understanding of how the world really operates in terms of the cabal and sex trafficking and children and sacrifice and corruption and all the things that, you know, that we really mutually believe in, that we understand how the world works. And, but I think that I've come to that place. I feel like I've come to this place because God has chosen me for it. That there's some sort of mission that I had coming down here. That it's my soul's mission to understand the truth and to help more people find the truth. And I think that you have that same mission. I think that you've also, it's like we were sleeping at some point and God came, he tapped you on your shoulder and he said, Sean, he wakes you up and you're like, what's going on? 9/11 building 7. And he's like, yes, like this is the beginning of your mission. And you're going to help a lot of people understand what's happening in this world. And all the audience, the people that are listening, they had their own time when God tapped them. And so that's ultimately where I take it to. Now, looking at it from a slightly different perspective, I think that it's, you know, for me, when I went through this process, you know, I went to a liberal arts school, right? So I grew up in simple middle Ohio, literally in a city called Plain City. It was a city of farm fields. That was it. And I grew up in, you know, a simple Christian home, and I didn't really have this concept of good and evil like I do now. I knew there were bad people, but I think that a lot of folks are so numb or these NPCs because they don't believe that evil can really exist in the way that it does. They you tell them about, say, child sacrifice or adrenochrome harvesting, they don't even want to look at it. They can't acknowledge that there's that kind of evil. And so what happened for me is I went to a liberal arts school, and I met this Chinese guy at school, and he was a friend of a friend. And he was, I think by that point, he was maybe in his 30s, early 30s, nicest guy, one of the nicest guys I had ever met. But there was some part of him, I could tell that he had this past that was difficult for him. I got the talking, so we'd, you know, sit down through mutual friends and have tea and whatnot. And so he told me that he had actually spent 8 years in a prison camp in China. And he told me some of the stories of torture. I mean, he was, you know, they'd turn the bed up upside down against the wall and they'd strap people to the beds, right? So they'd use these beds as a place to chain somebody up. And they'd use a cattle prod, and then they'd shock you everywhere. They'd shove it in places that where things shouldn't go on the human body. They would, you know, fry the genitals. I mean, it was horrific stuff that was happening in these labor camps. But also, what he told me, which is almost more frightening, is you know how we get pistachios, and the pistachios are already cracked open, right? You know, you go to Whole Foods and you buy some nice, hey, grown in California, organic pistachios, and oh, great, they're easy because you're not cracking them all open. So the Chinese call those happy nuts because it looks like the pistachio forms a smile. So what was happening, and this is still happening, companies in America are growing pistachios, shipping them to China where they're cracked. So this guy had spent years as part of his labor camp duty cracking pistachios for 16 to 18 hours a day. And if he didn't do it, he'd be tortured. So he would crack pistachio nuts. And he said that sometimes if the nuts were really hard to crack, they'd toss them into the piss bucket in the corner of the room that would soften the shell, and then they would crack them. And so these pistachios then come back to America and they're pre-cracked, but people don't realize that it's actually slave labor that's doing that. And so this, the experience of meeting this young guy, and I said, well, what'd you do to, were you like a gang member? And no, this guy, he happened to be a Falun Gong practitioner, right? That's a meditation group that is being really heavily persecuted in China.
They're getting
their
organs harvested in China.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And so that was his crime, right? Is he believed in truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance, and he was meditating. And so he spent 8 years in a labor camp. And that was for me, like, you know, I mentioned God kind of tapping you on the shoulder. For me, that was God like dumping a bucket of ice on my face when I'm sleeping. And it was just like, oh my gosh, there's evil in this world. And like I was studying to be a product designer, and I remember thinking, like, I don't want to just design the next toaster. Like I want to do something very purposeful. And so that it was like after at that point, I just dedicated myself. This is back in the early 2000s. I was like, you know what? I'm going to dedicate myself to fighting communism. And that was what led me to this part of waking up. I know that for you, a lot of it was building 7 and different things that you've experienced in your life. I think that each of us have these moments where we're tapped and we're called to action. And I think that a lot of people, they probably get that tap and they go, oh, go away, I'm sleeping. It taps again, go away, I'm sleeping. But there's some people that they get that tap and that they wake up and they're like, it's my time. And I think that that's people like yourself.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
You know, I wasn't going to bring this up on this call, but I just want to plant a seed with you in the audience too, and let this percolate in the back of your head. Maybe you can find guests to bring on and expose what's going on in our country, in the prisons and in the jails around this country. See, here's the thing. You just sparked the thought because I think you can judge a nation based on how the nation treats its prisoners. Yeah. And in China, the case you just made is that that is a brutal communist regime, but it's not unlike ours in this country, because now our prisons are for-profit, privately owned prisons, and they're run like death camps. Did you know that it's now the norm in this country to put prisoners in solitary confinement for 23 and a half hours a day with nothing to read, nothing to do, and time passing as slowly as one can imagine being locked up in a box 23 and a half hours a day? It's torture, according to the United Nations, but that is now the norm in prisons and jails in this country, especially for those who are mentally ill, because there are no hospitals anymore. So the mentally ill, once they get in trouble with the law, they end up in these hellhole prisons and jails where they're put in solitary 23 and a half hours a day, and the system needs to change. I want to find some whistleblowers, and I want to start reporting about that in detail, because there's nobody fighting for these people, Seth. They're just rotting away, losing their minds on purpose, because there's no reason, there's no logical reason to put a prisoner in a cage for 23 and a half hours a day, other than the system is designed to torture people and drive them insane. And these people don't have a voice. I think God's tapping me on my shoulder right now with that particular topic, because these people don't have a voice. You and I need to start blowing the whistle. This system is so sick and criminal that I don't think we're that far off from China, brother. And if they steal another election, we can't. There's no way. We can't sustain another 4 years of this treason, Seth.
No, and that's such a good point, because while there is a chasm of difference between, say Chinese organ harvesting and what they're doing to what we have here, what I see, that what worries me is that, like, what we have here in 3 or 4 years could be that same thing. Like, and I think I agree with you. We're that close. And that's what we're talking about earlier, with how many people don't realize that we're at the precipice and how close this country is to falling. And if you're even an elementary student of history and you look into communist regimes and you look, I interviewed Rudy Giuliani recently, and we were talking about the political arrests and how a lot of times these communist systems, they start with the arrest of the opponents. And that's where it starts. And that's what worries me, is that, you know, you look at our prison system, absolutely. It's, to me, especially if you look at the treatment of the January 6th folks, it's showing me that we're at the early stages of what in a couple of years could resemble a Chinese labor camp, Soviet gulags, you know, any communist country. We're on the edge of that. And I agree with you. And I think that that was one thing, is like, let's just say that there's a pedophile or a serial rapist or a mass murderer. Okay, well, their punishment to me is in a different category than, some like Coy Griffin, right? You know, Cowboys for Trump, who was praying over a megaphone during January 6th, got thrown into solitary confinement for two weeks. So there's a big difference. And that's the problem, it's not these people. My guess is that within the prison systems, they're letting these serial rapists and serial murderers, they're giving them like the play. They're letting them do probably whatever they want to the prison system, because it's not about actual justice. It's about taking the common person in America and making us so scared of our government and putting us in these situations where we're just crippled with fear because of how they're treated in the prison system. And so I agree, though, with trying to bring this up. So if you find, or if I find, if either of us find any whistleblowers about the prison system, especially getting into the rap industrial complex and how all of that feeds into the prison system, and how people have come out and they've talked about how the same executives that own and run these big rap labels are also heavily invested in private prisons. So when they can push violence and gang banging and drug use, what it's doing is it's churning money. They're selling CDs or selling albums, and then they're making tons of bank on the private prison system. When that, you know, say 16, 17 year old kid grows up listening to that music, he turns 18, he, you know, gets an illegal handgun, something happens, and now he's spending the next 30 years in his life. That's a fat paycheck for these executives.
Yep. I saw that. And, we don't have to get into a discussion about the power that the Jewish people have in this country, but it seems that a lot of those folks identify as Jewish. But here's what I wanted to ask you. And I didn't want to put you on the spot. So I'll tell you the question and you can just percolate on it, because then I came up with the answer. If Biden is the CEO of the USSA, what company are we most like? And I came up with an idea. You tell me if this is spot on. He wouldn't qualify to be the CEO of any company, but he might be a division head of a giant conglomerate like GM, who made the Pontiac Aztec the ugliest car in the history of automobile manufacturing. So this is our country under Joe Biden, the Pontiac Aztec. Now, you did a video about the plot to steal America. And in 2020, you noticed strange patterns on election night. We all did. You tell me the difference between Donald J. Trump and Joseph Robinette Biden in your mind, because I have listeners who still will take me to task in the comments below saying, Sean, it's all the uniparty. Stop trumping for Trump. Stop it. Trump's in on it too. You tell us how you see it, Seth.
Sure. And it's just, you know, you can ask me anything. I enjoy being put on the spot. I might pause and scratch my beard and look off into the corner as I'm thinking, but I like that. I like being challenged. I like having my beliefs challenged. That's why, you know, I similar to you, I'll bring on guests I don't necessarily agree with, and people will eat me alive in the comments. Like, why would you bring this person on? And he's this and he's that, and he's a neocon. And it's like, well, this is how we shape our understanding of the world, right? No one's 100% right. So looking at, you know, Trump and Biden, you know, my perspective, okay, for where I stand, okay, if today I'm at the ballot box, obviously I'm not voting for Joe Biden, but even if there's a decent candidate, I'm still voting for Trump. Even if I could pick, you know, say all the candidates, say, you know, we're at primaries and I get to choose between Trump and Vivek and, you know, RFK Jr. And all these different people, I'm still choosing Trump. Now, there's a few reasons why I make that place. One is that I believe that what Trump is trying to do and what he did in his 4 years is the most important thing any single leader can do in this country right now. And it's to remind us what it means to be American. That is what it is. And, you know, you mentioned before, I mentioned that the soul of America is under attack. That's what it is. The soul of America is the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the idea that tyranny is at your doorstep and it requires eternal vigilance for us to keep that, you know, at bay. The idea that we get our rights from God and not from man. Like, these are the fundamental things that make America what it is. And this is what Trump is bringing back. And in my opinion, when you know, you look at the global, China chessboard, it's like, why is America the greatest threat to the cabal? Is it because we've got hundreds of millions of guns? Is it because we've got one of the most fertile farmlands? Is it because we've got this MAGA movement, whatever it is? It's none of that. I think America is the greatest threat to the New World Order, the greatest threat to the cabal, the greatest threat to the global banksters, because America represents an idea, right? And it goes, I'm not sure you've probably seen Inception, but they talk about an idea is like cancer, because once it starts spreading, you can't stop it. And in fact, the more they try to stop it, the more it accelerates that idea. And so the idea of remembering what America is and what freedom is, and knowing that it's like, no, my rights came from God. My rights don't come from Klaus Schwab. My rights don't come from Joe Biden. My rights don't come from a corrupt Supreme Court. My rights come from God, and you will not infringe upon those rights. My wife is Australian, and I know what Australia is like, especially now after seeing it in COVID, and I see her perspective, and she has so much respect for America and so much respect for what this country stands for. And it's funny because her sister was here recently visiting, because we had a child recently and she was helping with the birth and everything. And I've got American flags like everywhere. I just hung up a new one like last night. It's like a probably 10-foot wide American flag in the basement by the pool table. And her sister was asking me, she's like, Seth, why do you have American flags everywhere? Like, why are American flags all over America? She goes, Australia, no one flies the Australian country flag. And I said, because it's about an idea. That American flag represents the idea that America stands for. And that's why, for me, like Trump and the whole Make America Great Again, that's, in my opinion, the most powerful thing that we need to hear is we need to be reminded how great our country is. We need to be reminded who we are as Americans, who our forefathers were. And of course, look, there are some things about Trump that are giant red flags. And I'm not going to try to, you know, get around those, okay? His involvement with the vaccine, him continuing to still promote it, Now, maybe it's 5D chess, or there's some sort of strategy, and people can make sense of it however they want to. I can't really make sense of it, but he's still, in my opinion, of all the candidates that we have, he's the guy I think that stands for the most important idea, which is bring us back to what America used to be.
You know, I tend to agree with you. And the way I'm looking at this is just very clear cut. We're given two choices. Okay, that's all. Well, who knows? Who knows if there will even be an election in November? Who knows if Biden will even be on the ballot? You know, they don't even want to have any debates. They're talking now about canceling the DNC convention and doing it virtual again because there's no support for this man. It'll be terrible optics for him to get up and speak at all, much less there is no more support for this puppet in chief. And so the way I'm looking at the election now in November is it's our last chance to save this nation. Because if they steal another one, even if they give it to Michael Obama, or if it's Joe Biden again, or God forbid, Kamala Harris, I mean, give me a break. I mean, there's nobody more despised in the history of politics, maybe, than Kamala Harris. Her poll numbers are so terrible, she can't even keep staff, Seth. If they steal another one in November, it's game over. Turn out the lights, look for an exit plan, because I'm not sticking around to watch them burn this country down in usher in Bolshevik Revolution 2.0, Seth, because that's what's coming if they steal another one. And, okay, the opposite of that would be, look how great the country will be again in a very short period of time if Trump gets in and does the things the left hates, like make America great again. Look what's going on in these countries where they get somebody like Bukele down in El Salvador. He turns the country around overnight. This is possible, but the opposite is also true. They will burn this thing down if they steal another one, Seth.
I also think that we've never seen Trump in a second term, and we've never seen Biden in a second term. And that's what worries me, is that I agree completely with you. I think that if they steal it, which of course they will try everything possible to, you know, everything in any way possible to steal it. If they do, I think that they're going to just take their foot and stomp the accelerator of turning America into a third world country. And I will be very concerned for where the country heads if they steal it successfully. Vice versa, if Trump gets in. Now, I think there's some bigger things at play, I think, that are beyond his control. If you look at the collapse of the fiat currency, you look at the bigger cycles, right? I'm not sure if you've studied, you know, Martin Armstrong or some people that talk about economic cycles and war cycles. Those are cycles that are beyond Trump's control. And I think that it'd be great to have him at the helm amidst that. But what you can say, though, is that we haven't seen Trump in a second term. Every president, every politician during their first, if they're two-term, their first term, a lot of their actions are built around how do they get reelected again. And you know that Trump was being very careful with a lot of things he was doing because he wanted to make sure he got in for 8 years, not just 4 years. So I think that if he has a second term, I think he's going to come in and clean house. Just like the guy you mentioned in El Salvador. I'm not sure if you saw a video where he pulls in all of his high-level generals and advisors and everything.
Yep, and he put them all on.
And he announces to them, he's like, you're all on notice, you're being investigated. Like, I could see Trump doing that kind of stuff. I think that's what we would expect from him in the second term.
Yeah. Bukele's speech to those folks, his entire cabinet, everybody in the government, all the high level people were gathered around. And he literally said, my legacy will not be one of theft. I will not steal from the people. And I will not be remembered as a good leader who had traitors surrounding him who stole from the people. So I want you to know the AG has been asked. I'm personally asking him to look into all of you. And if you're not stealing, if you're honest, you have nothing to worry about. Yeah, very, very inspiring leader. They call him a philosopher king down there. And it's very, very interesting. I have friends who are moving to El Salvador. Friends who are, I mean, because they've had it. And they want one foot out of this country in case another election is stolen. Let's turn our attention here to the economy. I want to play a clip here about the dollar, because if Trump gets back in, the dollar will have days ahead. Okay, it's not over yet. But with $34.5 trillion in debt and what, $2.5 trillion deficits this puppet is running, the writing's on the wall, and the whole world is moving away from the dollar. And really, at this point, the only thing propping up the dollar is Japan hanging on to all the treasuries and the Fed begging Japan not to sell those treasuries. Listen to this.
But let's continue. The last thing the U.S. needs right now is for Japan to begin selling its treasuries en masse so they can get dollars to defend the yen. I imagine the conversation went something like this. Don't touch those treasuries. We'll just give you the dollars that we print out of thin air that our advisor to the president doesn't even know how the monetary system works.
The government definitely prints money and then it lends that money by selling bonds.
I'm going to just pause this, guys. Jared Bernstein, chair of the Council of Economic Advisors for President Joseph Biden. The guy doesn't even understand how the debt is issued. Listen to this.
Is that what they do?
Mother of God, we are so when they sell bonds, that means they're borrowing. Okay, there's been this big debate in the MMT years, the modern monetary theory. Why do we borrow when we could just print everything? Well, the obvious answer is that if you were to just print everything, you would go into a hyperinflation death spiral for the ages. Not to mention, in doing so, it would signal to the market that you are no longer capable of carrying or servicing that debt. Therefore, all of the treasuries that you currently have out, which is trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, would not be re-upped. Those would sit out there. There would be no buyers for them. Interest rates would go through the roof, and you would have to monetize the entirety of the debt because only a total lunatic would continue to buy U.S. treasuries. That's the reason, doofus.
Did you see that clip with Bernstein? The guy
I did. Literally, yeah. Could
not even quantify how the money is created, what the bonds are for, who buys the bonds, why bonds are issued. He's supposed to be the smart guy in the room who knows how to unravel all of this nightmare. And he couldn't even explain it. We are the ship. This really is the USSA Titanic. Seth, how worried are you about the dollar?
Very worried. And I'll comment on Bernstein really quick because I think that it's one of two scenarios with him. A, he's just an absolute ignoramus, right? To put it lightly. Or B, he knows exactly what's happening and he's hiding something. Most Americans, if you ask them, you know, who owns the Federal Reserve, will say, oh, it's a government. And so many Americans, they don't know how this stuff works. So I think part, you know, maybe, again, I don't know for sure, but there's some part of it. It's almost like he's too stupid. There's something behind it. Maybe he's hiding something. He's covering up because he doesn't want to tell people, oh, actually, folks, well, actually, the government doesn't print money. The Federal Reserve is in charge of that. And the Federal Reserve is actually owned by these European banksters. It's not actually owned by the United States government. So there's part of that. But you know, to answer your question, I'm really, honestly, I'm very concerned about the dollar. I mean, just look at the inflation that we're seeing, you know, whether it's shrinkflation, like there's a video going around of a lady buying a Big Mac at McDonald's, and the Big Mac was literally, I'm not kidding, about 2 centimeters thick, right? So you're seeing shrinkflation of, you know, products getting smaller and smaller at the same price. And we're seeing inflation of the cost of goods and the cost of, you know, things that, you know, say 2 years ago were $1,000 or they're now $2,000. We're seeing it everywhere. But My concern is that this bubble, it's like the dollar is a balloon. And this balloon, they've been blowing it up and blowing it up and blowing it up. And I think this balloon is the reason why we've built the military industrial complex to what it is. It's why we've been able to fund all the wars over in the Middle East and all the, you know, John Perkins, economic hitman type activity, you know, color revolutions, you know, the dollar. The monopoly money dollar has given our government, has given the deep state actors in control of the majority of our government, our agencies, it's given this unlimited checkbook to basically, you know, play king and try to rule the world. But like every balloon, everything, once it gets big enough, it has to come back. You can't just expand exponentially and not stop. So my concern is that, and I think they know it too, if you look at the money printing that's happening in the past couple of years, it's almost like they know the whole system's getting ready to blow up. And so what they're doing is they're going to print as much as possible and get as much money out, going over to Ukraine. So it can be funneled back into, you know, all kinds of corrupt accounts through, you know, crypto, et cetera, that they're trying to squeeze as much as they can out of the dollar before the whole thing comes down. And that's it's absolutely one of my big worries is the dollar, because it's not just America. That's the thing, is that we've seen other currencies collapse in the past, like, you know, people oftentimes mention like the Zimbabwe dollar. Mike Adams will have his, you know, $3 trillion note he'll pull out on his show. The thing is that the dollar is the world reserve currency. We've never lived in a situation where we have such a globalized world with such globalized finance where the reserve currency itself collapses. And I think that the BRICS nations, they know what's going on. That's why, you know, why is it that they're buying gold like we've never seen before in history? They're just stacking and stacking and stacking thousands of tons of gold while America's over here just, you know, pardon my language, just pissing it all away. They're also talking about they want to, you know, one of the Russians leaders is talking about potentially tying, pegging gold to the barrel of oil, right? So these are all things you look at, okay, oh, good, great. You know, good thing America has massive strategic reserves of oil. It's like, oh, we used to before Biden got in and sold off all that oil. So yeah, Sean, I'm concerned as well as you. I mean, I've followed the advice that you've given so many people, you know, take your assets, you know, don't have it sitting in a 401k, don't have it sitting in stocks, put it into hard assets, gold and silver. I encourage your listeners, right? I know that, you know, Noble Gold's a great company. You've worked with them for quite some time. You know, Sean's not doing this to make money selling gold. Trust me. It's because Sean cares about you and he's trying to look out for your future. And I imagine there's going to be a time in the future when this happens, the people that listen, the people that took the steps, even if it was a small amount, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, like silver's at $1,200 an ounce now and the dollar is, you know, entering hyperinflation. And I now have the ability to feed my family. But the people that didn't, the people are like, oh, it's going to work because it's always worked. They have the confirmation bias, right? America's going to be great because it's always been great. America will never fall. We'll never be attacked. Those are the people that are going to wake up one morning and they're going to be hit by a freight train when reality sets in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and America already has fallen to such a large degree because in 2020, there was a coup. See, it's funny when we have these conversations and the audience understands what's up. We're reporting the real news here. We're discussing the real news, the fall of the Republic. There was a coup in 2020, and they implanted a communist, a traitor, somebody who's wholly bought and paid for, completely corrupt to the core, and he's running our nation into the ground. So to that extent, we are living through something that other countries have lived through at the hands of the CIA, but Americans don't recognize it. Isn't that weird? Do you think I have that right? We are living through hell on earth right now in this country. The borders are wide open. He's doing everything he can to destroy the nation from day one, shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline, ending oil and gas leases on federal land. Everything he's done from day one is designed to destroy the country. Where is the revolution? Where is the marching in the streets? Where are the tribunals? Where is the justice, Seth? Because this is all happening in slow motion. And most Americans, my neighbor's out there mowing his lawn right now. He's a good guy. He doesn't recognize any of this. He really, really doesn't. And it's shocking to me.
It is. And I appreciate the fact that you're someone that cuts right to the chase and you are cutting right to the truth. And that's what it is. I mean, people, whether it's a politician or, you know, these very mainstream conservative podcasters that they want to get up there and they're exposing the corruptness, you know, of the Democratic Party, and they're saying, look what they've done, the Democrats. And even they talk about stealing elections. It's like, okay, they stole the election, but they're still perpetuating the same thing. They're still not getting this to the source of it. And you're absolutely right. This, the blunt reality is that foreign actors, communists, globalists, Satanists, you know, Satanists posing as Jews, bankers, whatever you want to refer to this, these groups as, that foreign enemies seized control of our government in 2020. And they are now working to actively destroy and dismantle America because America represents the greatest threat to their one world order. Like, that's the sober reality of where we're at. We don't have a Democrat in the White House. The Democrats haven't seized control of our political system. Global communist satanic enemies have seized control of our system. Our country is being run by a global crime syndicate. Mm-hmm. And so you look around, it's like, wow, like, why America feels kind of off these days. And why is Joe Biden keeping that border open? That's not really good. It's like, if you understand it from the perspective that our country is being run by a global crime syndicate that wants to destroy America and kill anybody that actually is loyal to America, it's actually really easy to make sense of where our country's at right now and why what's happening is what's happening, and why doing what we're doing, why getting Trump back into the office, why doing a lot of these things. It's not about politics. It's literally about saving our country from ending up as, you know, communist China.
No, I think that's well said. And, you know, what I'm lamenting, and I failed to deliver in that last question or observation about the fall of our country, is that the mainstream horror media is owned by these same communists,
exactly.
by the same globalists. So the news is not being reported as though, you know, imagine Walter Cronkite in 1970, you know, delivering the gravitas of this important epic event that's happening in our country. Ladies and gentlemen, the fall of the Republic is at hand. Our government has been seized. It's been hijacked by a globalist cabal. That word is not reaching the ears of the American people through MSNBC, Washington Post, owned by Bezos, or CNN, or NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. I swear to God, that guy's a CIA agent. Really, they all are. They're all mockingbirds. So that's the problem. This is all actually happening, but the word is not reaching the American people except through the alternative media. You and me and Zero Hedge and Alex Jones and I guess Tucker Carlson and maybe Joe Rogan, right? And I'm glad there's an audience there, but the majority of the NPCs are not learning this information. The language we're using is as foreign to many Americans as the Russian language or even Spanish. They don't speak the language. They don't know what the Federal Reserve is. They don't know what a central bank is. They don't know how the currency is issued. They don't know who hijacked the Federal Reserve in 1913 and brought about all of this on purpose. That's what's really killing me, man. They don't know. And their country is literally falling apart.
And you also, I mean, of course, there's big tech, right? Because think about this is your show, a conversation like this. This is a conversation, if you were on YouTube as SGT Report and you weren't shadow banned and you were allowed to grow, well, for one, my guess is that right now, you'd probably be at between 5 and 10 million subscribers, right? With the content you're covering. And this interview would probably be a 5 million view interview. You look at all these people like, you know, Andrew Huberman, these folks that, you know, that are, their podcasts are blowing up. They're getting, you know, 8 million views on a podcast talking about stuff that has no importance to the future of this country. So that's a big part of it, is that that's what's stopping you from being the mainstream media is big tech and their censorship. And of all people, you know exactly what that's like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 2020. People get tired of me saying this, but I just wanted it on the record. October 15th, 2020, Media Matters for America, which enjoys Soros money, wrote a hit piece telling YouTube to deplatform people making money, right? And I was demonetized at that point. But the charge was YouTubers profiting from conspiracy theories on the platform. On that same day, me, X22 Report, and dozens of other channels were terminated without cause, without warning. And then a week later, another Media Matters for America hit piece, this time making the same charge to Patreon. And then a bunch of us lost our Patreon accounts on that same day without cause, without warning. So yeah, you're right. 100%. That's what we're up against. And by the way, here's my last question for you, or maybe not the last question, but as we round out the conversation, do you think that, see, because what's happening here is tyrants are destroying Western nations by force. Case in point, Justin Trudeau. Bill C-63. Okay, they want to outlaw speech that challenges the establishment. They don't want any, they'll put you in prison now in Canada if they don't like your speech. That's what they're trying to do. And so amidst this global great awakening, and I know I just said there's so many NPCs and a lot of people don't know what's going on, but a lot of people are waking up. Do you think that they're going to get away with their dastardly plot when the world is waking up and now we can point our fingers at the tyrants like Christine Lagarde? Listen to this clip from this absolute witch of the New World Order.
Floods, droughts, and wildfires last year were just a preview of what is to come. A hotter climate and nature loss are changing our economy and our financial system. At the ECB, we must understand this change to ensure financial stability and to fulfill our price stability mandate. With our new climate and nature plan, we focus on the following three things. First, the green transition. Second, the growing physical impact of climate change. And third, the risks from nature loss and degradation. We will study the impact on the economy and the financial system. This will help us improve our own models. We will also work to reduce our carbon footprint in everything we do, from banknotes to how we supervise banks.
Okay, so carbon credits, cashless society, 15-minute cities, smart cities. Is there anything that came out of her mouth there that is even remotely close to being pro-human? And are we going to fall for this bullshit? Because that's what it is, Seth. Are we going to let these tyrants rule us by force? Because that's all they have left. They don't have anything to sell the people. All they have left is the rule of force. Tyranny.
So, I'm glad that you're ending on this, because I this is where I wanted to conclude, actually, is that I do have hope. I'm full of hope for the future. Even though today's conversation was, I think, what most conversations are these days, when we're trying to analyze where our country's at, and it was dark and dystopian, I have a lot of hope. You know, and maybe we do a part two interview, because I could spend a whole show talking about why I have hope for the country and for the world as a whole. But I'll summarize it really quickly. I really believe that when they stole the election in 2020, and when they brought about COVID, the pandemic, I believe that that was a all cards on the table move. It literally was all assets deployed. I think at that time, they had to do everything possible to try to maintain their control. And that was where I think they were the strongest. But since that time, I really believe that, and there's been so many indicators that the cabal is getting weaker and more fractured, and they're getting far, their power is absolutely diminishing because of, again, folks like yourself, because people are waking up. They're not controlling people anymore. Even look at the pandemic treaty. We now have, I think it's, England or Great Britain. We have countries that are actually, they're saying that we're not going to sign it. We've got, I think, close to 15 or 20 different state-level AGs rejecting the pandemic treaty. Mm-hmm. So we're having people all over the world rejecting their agenda. And so even though I really do believe that there's some really difficult times ahead, I also believe that what we're witnessing is the collapse of the deep state cabal global system that controls us. And while the collapse of the dollar seems frightening and it will bring about a lot of pain and suffering around the world, that represents the collapse of their system. That represents the collapse of their Babylonian money magic system they've used to control the world. And they think they can bring in their central bank digital currency, but that's failing as well. Like that was supposed to be in place, I think, in 2018. You go back to, I think it was a Time magazine cover, I think. I forget which magazine it was, but one of the Rothschild-owned media is talking about how by 2018, I think it was, these systems will be in place. So it's not working. What they're trying to do to take control is just not working, because I think that fundamentally there's one significant thing that they do not understand, and that's God. In their mind, they believe that Lucifer or whatever it is that they worship is the most powerful being. They believe that we are just these meat sacks. They don't believe we have souls given to us by God. They don't believe that we have free will given to us by God. So fundamentally, they're not even looking at our greatest strength. They're saying, your greatest strength doesn't even exist. Whereas we know that it does. And so though it's dark and it's difficult, and I think a lot of people will perish, unfortunately, in the coming years, I think that at the same time, we're seeing a massive revival of virtue. We're seeing a massive revival of people wanting to go back to tradition, to go back to living how humans are supposed to live as God intended. We're seeing a rejection of their system. I mean, look at even VR and Oculus and Apple's VR glasses. These are failed products. People don't want it. People want to go homestead in the country. They don't want to live in some digital world. Look at Meta. Look at the market cap of Meta just collapsing. Yep. To me, these are all indicators that they're losing control of the human race, and God is coming back in this world again. And that ultimately, honestly, it gives me a lot of hope. Now, I'm prepped to the hills. I've got food. I've got everything needed to protect myself. So I'm not, just depending on this being some hunky-dory kumbaya process. But I believe at the end of the day that the good, upright, moral, and righteous people will seize control of the earth again and take away the power that this satanic bloodlusting cabal has had for millennia.
I kind of see it that way too, because for every action, for every move of tyranny that they make on the chessboard, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? For every move they make, they cause something to happen. And sometimes they cause things to happen that they don't want, like Trump winning in a landslide, so much so that they had to steal it in the wide open. And now everybody sees it. Everybody recognizes what happened that night in 2020 when there was a coup and they stole our government from us. And I want to thank you so much for your time today. I want to show your website too, and maybe give us a call to action. You know, to anybody to whom you're new in my audience, maninamerica.com. What's the call to action? Where do people find you? I guess on Rumble, is that the number one spot?
Yeah, my answer is that wherever people are listening to you, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, that's where I listen to you, or Spotify or Podbean or Rumble, just go and search for Man in America. Look for the guy with the beard and the American flag. That's me. And just subscribe. That's the call to action. I've got nothing behind a paywall. I support myself through advertising the same way that you do, and through an amazing audience that supports what we're doing through supporting our sponsors. And so everything is free. I do 4 or 5 videos every week, and that's the best way. So wherever they're watching SGT Report, search for Man in America. Subscribe, and hopefully I'll have you on soon, which we've been it's funny, we've been back and forth for like a year or two about finally doing this, and I'm glad that we have now. But yeah, that's the call to action. And also just Shauna, just a huge thanks to you. Thanks to you for sacrificing so much that, you know, and putting your life on the line, putting your reputation on the line to come out here and do what you're doing, bringing people the truth. And also a big thanks to your audience. I've run into a lot of people through my interactions with people that I'm reaching, et cetera. And they're like, oh, SGT Report, he's great. Sean has been such a beacon of truth and hope and information. So thank you for what you're doing, Sean. And thank you for the audience for what they're doing and listening and sharing this content.
Wow. What a kind person you are. You're a nice guy, man. I appreciate that very much. And just one final thought, and I want your comments on this. Again, sometimes I get on a rant and I don't quite, it doesn't pay off the way I had hoped. What I was driving at in that last rant is that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. This is physics. And now they're using force because they want to bring about the absolute collapse of our nation, a one world government, a new world order. They would like there to be Armageddon. I mean, that's essentially what they're trying to engineer right now in the Middle East. But we are going through the apocalypse, which is when the scales are being removed from our eyes and people are literally waking up almost on a DNA molecular level. Okay, it's not happening for all of it. You know, it's not happening for everybody. Okay, the NPCs still exist, but more and more people are waking up every single day because of the tyranny and the rule of force, because these people don't have anything left to sell the people. Nothing. They've got nothing in their play cards, their deck. They're holding a crummy hand at the poker table, and we've got the winning hand. We've got the royal flush, brother, and it's constitutional biblical truth, the Bill of Rights, and just returning to the rule of God in our land. That is what will cure these ails. It's the apocalypse, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I'll throw just a quick point there. Every action is an equal and opposite reaction. Look at Trump's most recent rally in New Jersey with 100,000 people showing up this far out from the election. That's the reaction to what they're doing. And one way that I like to look at this, and, you know, kind of stepping back into the bigger pictures, you know, I've studied a lot of Eastern philosophy, and I think that the idea of the yin yang, right, you know, the yin yang, as the Chinese would pronounce it, you know, roughly, is that it's kind of what it is. Is it's taking that principle of every action equal and opposite reaction. It's applying that principle to cycles, right? Because the cycles, as that yin yang rotates, you go through periods of a lot of the black, and then as the white is very small as it's rotating. But then what happens is when the black gets to the ultimate point in that rotation, eventually what happens, though, is then it starts to go back again as the white gets larger. And so I believe that where we're at in history right now is that black, that evil, it hit its greatest point in 2020. And now what's happening is the opposite. And so when the darkness is actually, when it's on the rise to becoming dominant, every action that the good makes actually has the opposite reaction, and the black gains strength from it. But what happens, the opposite, is once that black then starts retracting, every time that black, that evil, tries to push something forward, it actually adds a significant amount of momentum to the good in this world. I think that's where we're at now, is that the more they do, the more they try to persecute us, the more they persecute, you know, Donald Trump, the more they do that, the more they're going to see this opposite reaction of more and more people in America and around the world standing up and finally saying, I've had enough. I'm not going to stand for this. And I think that it's going to start accelerating. I think we've got some very exciting times ahead.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Our cup is definitely half full, guys, despite all the gloomy clouds and the chemtrails. By the way, Tennessee just banned chemtrails. So we have states' rights, too. So we've got a lot of things left in our arsenal to help protect us and restore our liberty, starting with the states and nullifying the tyranny coming out of Washington, D.C. And we'll get Seth scheduled again. We got to do this again, Seth. Thank you so much for your time today.
It was fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Okay, guys, the website, maninamerica.com. I'll leave a link below. Check him out, support him, watch the show. Listen to it when you're working out and keeping your body fit, because that's what we need to do. Mind, soul, and body, friends. And I'll remind you every single day for free. Check us out to get the real news, the antidote to corporate propaganda and all of those Zuck Buck Mockingbird mainstream media lies at sgtreport.com. God bless you and yours, friends. Bye-bye.
Some individuals and websites not affiliated with established news organizations have become recognized news sources for a larger audience, just like Sean SGT Report, right? Giving them stature equivalent to an established news organization. Only public affairs organizations may engage such designated individuals and websites. See, only a public affairs organization may engage them. Okay, it is the responsibility of all combatant commanders to determine when the internet communications of specific individuals and websites rise to a level equivalent to a news organization. Combatant commanders. Do you see? Like, I hope the American population starts to realize, and especially the ex-military in your country, you know, it's the military that are going after the people. They're committing this is war against people.